continue our series on Matthew, and I've entitled this sermon, Please Sir, A Crumb Will Do. Please Sir, A Crumb Will Do. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 15 in a moment. But if you have dogs like we do, even though our border collies are working dogs, they are more like inside dogs, like little toy dogs that leave hair everywhere. And they are treated like one of the family. And occasionally, when we're sitting at the table, they will drift over to the table from their safety zone into no man's land and cross into the forbidden zone underneath the table. And they long to see and smell what we are eating. And if you have a daughter like mine who is partial to loving animals of any variety, there might be the hand that slips from the table and just happens to drop down, and with a glint of the eye, it's gone. Magic. You see, the dogs long to know what the human people are eating. You know, perhaps they even salivate it. Just a taste, because those dry biscuits of chicken and rice drive me crazy. Just that little bit of something under the table will satisfy my urge. And if you do that, the paw goes on your lap for more. Well, today we look at a story very similar to that. We look at a lady who was wanting a morsel, just an insight, just a morsel to have her tension relieved for her daughter. And we read this story, and there's an interplay between Jesus and the disciples and this lady that is both quite profound for us to understand. And we will reflect, no doubt, on some of those tensions as we watch the news with great interest of what's going on in America, no matter what side of politics you're on. There is a way that we need to conduct ourselves before the Lord. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And we're going right through to 39, but I just want to focus on this passage from 21 to 28 for now. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was only sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And she answered, and he answered, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, this woman outside the nation of Israel came to Jesus to give her hope. Today, as we sit and we listen and we struggle in ourselves, some of us, and others with great rejoicing, we understand that even that little morsel that you will give us is better than any meal that we might prepare ourselves. So we want to thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your understanding of us. And as we seek to reach out to you, Lord, we beg of you to help us in our time of need. Some of you have come this morning with perhaps a burden on your heart. Some of you who have come, who have struggled, maybe recently, maybe a long time, maybe your whole life. Some of you might be enduring many things, but this morning, I don't want to add to you, to add to your woes, I want to say to you that Jesus is waiting. Jesus is hoping you will come to him. The list you might have might be a lengthy one. There might be a few bullet points on it. In the middle of your trouble, you might be searching out for someone to help you. You might be seeking out, longing for someone to walk a journey with you. Jesus wants to walk that journey. And for many people, when they say, Jesus doesn't walk with me, he remains silent. I think we misunderstand what he is trying to do in our lives. What he is trying to do with our hearts, what he is trying to do with our faith. And we would alleviate our tension if we would turn to him to seek the solace that he provides and the care. Today you might not come to lift just the small burden that you have, but there is a massive weight that you want Jesus to help you lift it away from you. You may be happy in the plateaus and the valleys of you walk on flat ground, but there's a mountain that you need to climb in front of you, and you need someone to carry the baggage as you journey up that mountain. It may be you don't want him to lavish you with a 3-course meal, just a morsel like you give the dog under the table, just a little glimpse of what that would look like to alleviate my problems, to alleviate the tensions that I have. And we have a mother here who has a daughter that is in desperate, desperate need. And yet Jesus seems to ignore her. He seems to deflate her. So we start off this woman's petition. And I want you to take on board, do you petition the loving God every time you have an issue? Or do you sit down, put your head in your hands and wonder, what am I going to do? This woman had a concern about her daughter. Her child was demon possessed, and that is a bad place to be. We don't know the nature of the possession. She might have been acting out in violence and anger. We don't know those things from the text. It doesn't even give us a glimpse in the parallel passage in the Gospel of Mark. But she was desperate and she cried out. Now I'm not saying she just cried out, said, Lord have mercy on me. Lord have mercy on me. Lord have mercy on me. She went on and on and on and on and causing a disruption. She persisted to the point the disciples said, send her away. Now we don't know if they say get rid of her or heal her daughter so we can get rid of her. But she was persistent. She didn't give up. It wasn't a quick 3-second prayer. Oh, it didn't work. Never mind. This was a persistent crying out for someone she loved and someone she wanted to see restored to whole, her wholeness. And she called out because she had heard of him. His reputation probably across all of that area was so profound. This man can help me. No one else has been able to help me, but this man can help me. She probably heard the blindness was lifted from eyes, the deaf ears were unstopped, the demons had been driven out. And she knew that he'd even gone to a Gentile land and healed a man in the tombs who was wrapped in chains and threw the demons into the pigs and off they went over the cliff. And here we have a Gentile woman going to Jesus. She wasn't worried about her position and what the Israelites thought of her. She just called out. Friends, you and I are Gentiles. We're outside of that nation of Israel. But she persisted and she came. She may have heard Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are burdened. I want to give you rest. Do you want to see the rest that God can give you? Do you want to feel that tender touch of what God can give to you in your hour of need. You don't need to run with the burden alone. Jesus is waiting. You are precious in his sight. If you doubt that Jesus can help you, you are doubting his words. You doubt that he can give you rest. You don't believe him and you don't trust him. Yet he has been trustworthy. The nation looked to him. They were promised one. He came. He was ministering to his own. But this woman's petition turned into a persistence. As I said, she called out, she kept going, but there were some obstacles in her faith. You might believe that you have obstacles in your faith, that you are unworthy. Well, let me tell you, yes, you are. There is nothing that you can do to secure your faith. And that seems to leave us fatalistically hopeless. But in Christ coming, we have hope. And when you can rely on him and trust him and look beyond your circumstances, you have hope. Let's have a look at some of the obstacles she had to overcome. She is a Canaanite woman. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, you will see what happened. They were to be obliterated outside of the nation of Israel. Had a race problem, a doomed race. A religion known for their pagan religious activities. Everything going wrong for her when it come to who she was going to meet. This woman was on the altar and she had to overcome religion. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. The Gentile mother crying out to the Jewish Messiah. Did she have a right to come to him? Was Jesus the door that she had to go through? She was a Gentile and Jesus was about to not even answer her a word, he said in, the Bible says in verse 23. Didn't even answer a word. Have mercy on me persistently. Nothing. Nada. No response. And you might find yourself in that position today that you are calling out to Jesus and Jesus might, the words that are often said, Jesus remains silent. Jesus doesn't remain silent. Our perspective needs to change. And she had to overcome racism. Racism is an ugly thing. It pits people against people, thought processes against thought processes. The last time I checked in the creative story of the Bible, we were all created by God. Yeah? Where did it go wrong? All created in his image. It doesn't matter the creed, the color, the location. Nothing matters, but you are created in his image. In their eyes, she was different. And that wasn't enough for them to see her being cared for. And she had to overcome rejection also. Jesus speaks to this woman and, as I said, the words appear to be harsh. He turns to her. He said, I've come to Israel, not to dogs, proper rendering. How would you like that? Coming to the Messiah and being considered a dog. Was he doing it to put her down? Was he doing it to upset her, to frighten her, to tell her to clear off? No, I believe that he was doing it so that she might persist and come to know as the expression of her faith. There was a reality for her that was vastly different than some of us might have experienced. Are you looking at some of those barriers today that you feel uncared for, unloved, in the wrong place, out of touch with the church, out of touch with what we believe is the reality of the church's mission? Are you a person that is perpetuating that reality in the lives of other people? We need to take notice of what's going on here. He will not turn us away. Do you feel like giving up? Again, This is not to put you down or to make you feel worse than perhaps you already are, but there is hope. There is encouragement in Jesus' words. He is willing to meet your needs. Are you willing to let him meet your needs? God's silences, as we call them, God is silent on this, God is silent on that, is to serve, to test our faith. To remind us that he operates outside of our will. To remind us that his ways are not our ways, but our ways should be his ways. And we don't like that in a secular society. We want everything today. That's why baked beans were made. That's why we have microwave ovens. That's why even a roast seems impossible. 2.5 hours at 180 degrees on a fan-forced oven. I know how to cook them. Peel carrots. Frozen peas are fine. You still have to wait till they thaw, and although if you're slack like me, you just put them in the steamer. And roast potatoes. You might have to peel them. See, we've lost perseverance. We want everything yesterday. 5 years interest-free. When it's not paid off in 5 years, there's 19.5% interest or whatever it is. God's silences don't serve to embitter us, but test our faith to remind us that his schedule is not our schedule. But there's opportunities to express our faith. As Jesus speaks with this woman, he never slams the door of hope. He just questions her, looks her in the face. Let the children be filled first. He came for the Israelites. Who are you? You're a Gentile. I didn't come for you. You can not have what you're looking for. But she says a profound thing. She pleads with Jesus, even the dogs eat the food that the children leave behind. Just give me a little morsel, Jesus. Just a little bit of what you're doing for all these people. And I know that you will have the answer for me. I don't want it all. I just a little bit. But we want it all. We want everything in our lives. We are so desperate to have everything. We look at our neighbours in their 5-bedroom houses. But I've only got 4 houses. But I have 3 bathrooms. He's only got 2. Now, I'm not criticizing all that stuff, but it's your perspective. How did you do in your exams? I got B pluses. But the guy next to me only got Cs. There's no relevance. I got a pay rise, but the guy didn't get as much as me next door. It's how you perceive yourself in Jesus. And this woman come lowly, bending down, completely at his mercy, knelt down before him, pleading with him, please help me, give me just a little bit of what you've got. Just a taste. That's all I need, Jesus. Please help me. There's an interesting interplay here, and if you do the word search on it, you will find the passage in Matthew 7 when the same word is used, a dog. It's talked about mangy and cur, negative connotations. But the word is differently, according to the research that I've done, as little puppies. So she's not actually casting him out. And when she heard that, she might have understood. He's calling me a little puppy. He's calling me something soft and cuddly. Not a disgusting creature like I have been treated. And her ears may have pricked up. And he acknowledged, yes, even the dogs eat from the table. But I just want a dog's portion. I don't want the lot. And he heals her daughter. And what's the word that's used, how he healed her? Instantly. At that point. And he commented of her, O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. She did not go to Jesus with a great big shopping list. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Will you be satisfied with Jesus coming? Or do you want something more? I look at Christmas time as a great time, one of the greatest days in human history, when God revealed himself through a little baby, that we all might come to him and be saved. Please, Lord, just give me that crumb. It's not too much to ask. Please, Lord, help me. Jesus responds to her faith, not her shopping list. We don't have a barter card with Jesus. We have faithful submission, we have prayer, we have honesty and integrity before him to just come to him and ask him. Today, if you are not a believer here, you might be asking the question, well, that all seems too preposterous. I don't understand that. How can you believe that? Well, there's been too many people go before me, walk with me, and will come that have put their trust in Jesus, and I have seen God do marvelous things in their lives for it not to be real. I only have to look at the evidence in the biblical text that Jesus died on a cross. The historical fact that Jesus was murdered on a cross and he was buried and that he rose again, so we have a hope for these things. I don't need to look anywhere else. I don't need to go and buy a Maserati. And she was rewarded for her faith. Take heart, friends. Take heart. Do you need a mountain moved, shifted? Have you asked the right questions of God? Have you got a backpack on that's loaded with rocks? And you need some rocks taken out to get it down to the 14.5 kilograms that is conducive to good backpacking on multi-day trips. Unless you have Luke with it and he carries your bag for you. It's 3 weeks' time, buddy. I want to read now the last part, and I want you to listen, ears opened. And I want you to hear. Jesus deals with this person's issue, this woman's issue. She was asking for something important. I want you to see what Jesus does after this. And then I'll close. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the sea, verse 29 of Galilee. And he went up on a mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on their way. And the disciples said to him, where are to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? He said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. and they took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and he went to the region of Magadan. As I've read that, what is a word that comes into mind, and it's written in the text? Compassion. If you sit there today feeling heavy-hearted, Jesus has compassion. He wants to lift your burden from you. He wants to take it away, or at least allow you to live in the light of it so you understand. I've often asked the question, is it better pray for healing or pray for the patience to endure? Paul prayed, heal me. But Paul recognized that he had to live in the light of whatever his problem was. He learnt to endure. You see, we have a compassionate Saviour who helps us and allows us to endure with him. And he endures with us. What are you looking for? What are you asking for? I would suggest we ask for crumbs and see how that goes. Yeah? If you are burdened today, and what I've said makes no sense, I've often said I talk in riddles, we would love to be able to help you through that. Or maybe there's someone here that you're very committed to in your relationship, mentoring relationship. Please go to them and allow them to help you. Don't sit in silence. This woman allowed Jesus to love her. And this is what I know. This is what I know as I finish. If you don't want to move towards God or move towards people that can help you, free you, help walk a journey with you, you are not allowing them to love you. Do you hear me? They can't love you by osmosis if they don't know. It doesn't work. You have to move towards them. Move to the opportunity that you have to allow them to help you. It doesn't happen by osmosis. So many people want help, but they don't want anyone to know. Now, if you can tell me how that works, I'd really appreciate it because I struggle with it. Let's pray. Hope is there. Please find it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today that Jesus offered hope and compassion, even though it didn't seem like it from the start. But in the test of her faith as a Gentile, she persisted and was rewarded for her faith. Father, thank you that we have an opportunity to come to your Son. Thank you that we have an opportunity for each of us here to have our burden shared and enlightened, and even though we need to carry our own load, we need to take that risk and move forward so we can allow people to love us like you've asked us to. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that if someone is really struggling, that they will allow someone to help them walk a journey with them without fear, without being judged. And for those, Father, who are walking in good times at the moment, we thank you and praise you. And may they also and thank you and praise you for allowing them to walk on smooth ground in this period of their life. So we thank you so much, Father, for your word, this example of this woman who persisted, for Jesus' compassion, for Jesus' love, for Jesus' sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.